Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Leader of the best defense in the National Football League is leaving our city. Vic Fangio will be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. So who wants to coach Khalil Mack? Todd Bowles? They wanted him. He's heading to Tampa. Ed Donatell is probably going with Vic Fangio. What will Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace do? Pitchers and catchers report in just over a month, and we still have no idea where the biggest free agents are heading in baseball. Offers have been made, but neither Manny nor Bryce have put pen to paper. Is this a good sign for the White Sox? Could this drag on into February? And how can baseball fix this problem? And welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good day. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show, one of the classiest journalists that's ever been on this set. He is our friend, the great Fred Mitchell. Got a brand new book coming out on Loyola Basketball. Phil Rogers, one of the smartest baseball minds we've ever had. And how about Leila Rahimi, right here from NBC Sports Chicago. I call this Legends Night. All right. Speaking of legends, Vic Fangio is one of the best defensive coordinators this league has ever seen, one of the best the Bears have ever seen, and he is gone. He is the new head coach of the Denver Broncos after 30-plus years as an assistant. He finally gets his shot. Fred, this guy's a great defensive mind. He's entertaining at the mic. This is a big loss.
It is, and you know, usually when you think of a defensive coach, you think of a guy who not only has strategies in mind, but also the ability to get the most out of his players emotionally. When you talk about defense, my first recollection and thought was about Buddy Ryan leaving the Bears
as a defense coordinator.
Vince Tobin comes in, and I think that next year they set a record for fewest points allowed. So there's something to be said there in terms of a system being in place. There's something to be said about the players, the young players having confidence in their abilities. And obviously there's something to be said about a coordinator who puts these players in position to succeed.
Well, Vince Tobin, interesting. I mean, no question Fangio leaving is bad for the Bears. They would have been better off if the Broncos had hired somebody else. But he was deserving. He's getting his chance. Stuff happens. But I don't think anybody should overreact about the need to go out and find a defensive coordinator. Vince Tobin, how many NFL seasons had he coached before the Bears hired him?
He was not a big name in the NFL.
Zippers. He had coached at the University of Missouri. He'd coached for the BC Lions in the CFL, and he had coached in the USFL. And he came in, took over that defense. They were first in the Super Bowl year in total defense. They were first again the next year, and then they were second the following 2 years. So if you just said this Bears defense was going to be in the top two in the league for each of the next 3 years,
done.
I think people
Sign me
would
up.
Take it. And they did that with a transition back in 85, 86, 87.
I think after Vic Fangio's game where he made mincemeat of the Rams offense, how could you not at that point say, after everything he had done, after his resume, this is a man who is absolutely deserving of a head coach position? 49ers fans have been saying that now for years. They're probably the ones the most bitter about this because Fangio deserved a solid shot back then. He had that marquee game. He had that game where he was the name that really put it all together. The beauty of this now is we've seen this defense in place and we've seen what works. So anybody who comes in can just press play instead of resetting the entire thing. So whoever comes into this situation, you'd love it to be Donatell, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be, which is a real unfortunate situation. You've got the personnel. All you have to do is make sure that they keep doing what they're doing. But Fangio absolutely deserved the shot that he's now finally getting.
There's no question about it, and you've never seen the jockey carry the horse across the finish line. You got players. It's the most desired DC job in the league. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this doesn't catch the Bears organization by surprise.
No.
He's been talking about this at least half the season, right, that he's out of here. So I'm sure that they've got some thoughts about who's going to replace him.
Well, we'll see how things work out. Todd Bowles' name was one of the names being bandied about. And in fact, he had multiple conversations with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. but he had given his word to Bruce Arians, who he used to work for in Arizona. Hey, man, if you get that job, yes, I will go with you. Chicago was not an opening at that point, and he said, I have to be a man of my word. I'm very close to Bruce. I was his defensive coordinator with the Cardinals. I cannot go back on my word. I think you've got to really respect a guy who it's a better opportunity in Chicago. It probably pays better. It certainly would get him back to being a head coach more quickly with a great defense. I think it's class.
But, Cap, what about this? The Arians, Todd Bowles talks about this job. I've read a report today. They go back 6 weeks. I mean, there were guys that still had jobs six right. weeks ago, and now they're talking about other jobs. So, you know, yes, on the one hand, to not make a late switch to take what I think is clearly a more attractive job with the Bears, I guess, reflects on him. But, you know, the guy was just a head coach. That would scare me a little bit, that you've got a guy that's just gone through the ringer like him. And, sometimes it takes a little while to regroup. And, you know, that would have worried me a little bit about both.
And let me take an opposite approach, too. For whoever, you know, succeeds Fangio here in Chicago, he can only fail or keep it going, right? So if
Correct.
He keeps it going, then people are going to continually associate this with Vic Fangio's defense, that he's just sort of the gatekeeper there. And if they decline, then it doesn't look so good for him.
All right, let's go to the phones because that's where we find our Alex Brown. Alex, of course, a stalwart with the Bears defensively. He's on our Bears football after show. All right, AB, I got this question for you. When the 85 mm-hmm. Bears then went and had to get Vince Tolman when Buddy Ryan left, they did not miss a beat. When you guys had to deal with a little bit of turnover, Ron Rivera leaves. Do you think that they can successfully replace Vic Fangio and stay as committed and as dominant as they are defensively this year?
You know what? I think that's going to come down to the guys, honestly, and the guy that they bring in. That guy has to be respected throughout that locker room, and the guys have to believe in him. I think from what we saw over the past few years, I mean, these guys on defense, they believe in him. Heck, we see pictures of Vic Fangio taking pictures with running backs and O-linemen. Everybody loved him. So this next guy is going to have to live up to that and be respected throughout that defense. If not, then, yeah, there will be a decline. I mean, the star players will still be there. But if they don't believe in what the coach is saying, then that play will not work.
I've got to ask you about the Sunday game that saw Philadelphia win on the missed field goal. We've talked so much about Cody Parkey, but one of your former teammates, Brian Urlacher, was on the radio yesterday, and he said, look, all I can tell you is I know the kid missed the kick, but if I was playing with my defense when we were great in Chicago, and you told me we had a five-point lead, and we were on defense, put me in that scenario every time because I think we're going to shut them down. Does the defense deserve some of the blame for allowing Nick Foles to go down the field, complete a pass on third and nine, Alshon Jeffery, and eventually on fourth down, score the game-winning touchdown?
Only in the sense of if they're trying to be great. If they're trying to be a great defense, and I think that's what they want to be, they want to be one of the defenses that are talked about, like the top defenses in Bear history, then yes, you have to come through in that particular situation. But as far as the entire game goes, no, they played a heck of a game. They played a great football game, and they gave their team a chance to win. Anything under 17 points, especially in the playoffs, should be enough to win the football game. A 12-play drive, 60 yards down the field when you need it the most, yeah, that stinks. And I know that's what they're going to remember as a defense, that they had an opportunity to win that game themselves.
There are a lot of people that are panicky because Vic Fangio is leaving. How important is the coordinator? Because I said to these guys here on the panel earlier, you never see the jockey carry the horse across the finish line. If you've got really good players and you're a competent coach, you should be able to get the most out of this defense. How important is the DC role?
I think it's very important. I think the coaches put players in position to make plays. Even really good players are just good players if they're not in right position to make the play. So if the coach calls the wrong defense, He doesn't teach the proper technique. He's not harping on the right things. The guys aren't listening. They don't respect him the way they should. I mean, I think the defensive coordinator plays a huge role. I think you can just see it from our 06-07 team. We took a drastic turn for the worse when Ron Rivera left, and everybody thinks that everything was going to be okay because we still had pretty much the big name still intact, and it just didn't work. Yes, he's going to play a huge role. The players need to buy in. It has to start over. And that coach has to gain a rapport, gain the respect of his players. That's from the superstars and Hicks and Khalil Mack all the way down to the guys that will be replacing, let's say maybe Callahan or some of those guys that are maybe not every down guys, but that come in situational plays. They're going to have to respect him throughout. And if they do that, then they can keep this thing going because they do have some really good players. But without really good athletes, I mean, Brian Urlacher came in here and they put him at Sam linebacker. He didn't look very good until they moved him to middle linebacker. And then he's a Hall of Famer. So that's where the coaches play a part. You got to put the guys in the right position that fits their skill set and help them make plays.
All right, quickly, the last one I have for you. There's a bunch of big-name defensive coordinator candidates out there, from Steve Wilks, who just got fired as the head man in Arizona, Greg Williams, who just left Cleveland. There are some guys out there that you look and go, those guys are good, but they're 4-3 defensive coaches. You're not in your base defense in today's NFL as much as you used to be. But I just don't see a scenario where you're going to have Leonard Floyd be a 4-3 defensive end. I just don't think that takes advantage of his skill set. Can you play with a 4-3 DC or absolutely no chance?
I don't believe so. I believe Greg Williams is more of is closer to a 3-4 type of coach than a 4-3 like Coach Wilks. But, I mean, Greg Williams would bring attitude as well. I mean, I think that's going to mean something as well. You have to bring a coach that has that kind of cockiness, because I mean, Coach Vic didn't say a whole lot, but he definitely, you could see the type of, I'm gonna use the word cockiness, but confidence is probably more fitting. But he's a very confident guy. He believed in himself, and I think you cannot replace him with anybody with anything less. So I like Greg Williams. I played for him down at the Saints. I think he'd keep this thing rolling if he was given an opportunity.
Alex, thanks, man. Best to the family.
Absolutely. Thanks, my man.
See ya. All right, quickly, our Enken Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Do the Bears need to hire an experienced D coordinator? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Yes or no?
I think it would help name recognition and respect go a long way.
I'm going to say no. This is Matt Nagy's team, and, you know, I think there's a lot of guys they could bring in.
If it's internal, no. If it's external, yes.
What if it is a guy like a Rex Ryan, who I don't think will probably be in play, but his personality might not be a good fit in that room?
Right. That's very important. You know, we talk about the X and O's guys, and we also talk about, especially with defensive coordinators, being able to motivate. It was obvious that what happened up front on the defensive line made everybody better, right? Made the cornerbacks, made Fuller better.
Everybody
profits from that. So attitude is a word I guess you would associate.
Yeah. All right. It's January 9, 2019, and we still have no idea where Bryce Harper and Manny Machado will be playing baseball in 2019. It's another ice-cold hot stove season. Does the delay benefit the White Sox at all? And will MLB do anything to fix this after another slow, boring offseason?
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
Don't forget to download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Take the Blackhawks and the Bulls with you on the go and stream the games 24/7. And get the latest news on all your favorite Chicago teams so you can be an authentic fan. Get it at the iTunes or Google Play Store. All right, still no Manny Machado. Now it's supposedly 7 days, and he will make a decision. Phil Rogers, where do you think this young man plays? Because it sounds like, unless there's a dark horse, it's New York with a lower offer, Philly and the White Sox with bigger offers.
Yeah, I think when you look at the three teams that are in play, I think it's the team that's most motivated to get him out of that group, and that's the White Sox. You know, I think the White Sox will probably go to a level that they didn't really expect to get a deal done. And, you know, I think with the TV situation, with the lack of buzz they've had for a long time, they, you know, this is a chance to step up and create buzz. And you look at the lesser moves they've made, those are really smart moves. And I actually, a source told me that somebody very high up in the White Sox who might own the White Sox is somewhat optimistic. So I'm going to say the White Sox.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you talk about motivation, and I think when you talk about these top free agents, in addition to the money, you know, check that box first, right? Then they want to feel like they're wanted and needed, and that there'll be a difference maker on a team, as opposed to going to some place where they're not so much.
You'd argue that it's the White Sox simply by association. When you sign John Jay, you trade for Yonder Alonso, his brother-in-law. I still think the White Sox are very big players for this. And for what it's worth, we've heard about Manny Machado in those circles for a long time before this offseason began. I still think New York is a big player for Manny Machado, especially when you think of the moves he's made. I don't know why the Dodgers aren't being more widely discussed for Bryce Harper after that blockbuster trade they had that left two-thirds of their outfield offensive production gone. And now in the NL Central, by the way, which is concerning if you're a Cubs fan. I also think that Harper probably ends up in Washington still because of when they signed Patrick Corbin. But I don't know how you'd say at this point that New York and the White Sox aren't the favorites for Manny Machado.
But Philly's owner says we're going to spend stupid money, and they haven't yet. They gave $50 million to McCutchen. They signed David Robertson to a small $25 million deal. That's small in baseball terms. I can't believe they don't get one of these guys.
Okay, there was the report last Sunday that Reinsdorf was at Soldier Field in a box with Manny Machado.
Right, which was shot down.
It was not only was it shot down, there's no chance in the world that's where they would be if they were going to do a deal. They would be in Scottsdale, Arizona. They would be, you know, in Miami. They wouldn't be right in the middle of public attention. And when I see the talks about the Phillies, everything they're doing is so public. That to me is a team that wants their fans to think, well, our guys were sure in there fighting. But it's not how you get a deal done. You know, to announce what schedule you're doing, it's silly. That is just not how it happens. So that's why I discount the Phillies, and that's really why I think, you know, and there was the report a month ago, neither of these guys really want to go to Philly. That's a tough place to play. New York is a tough place to play. You know, if you go to those places, you got to get results. And I think the White Sox, you know, it in a lot of ways it's not the most attractive because it's small crowds. But, you don't have a lot of that public pressure and
scrutiny,
just the Game 7 mentality that you're going to have everywhere else you would sign.
What impact do you think he would have on the White Sox?
I think it would be huge, and I think it would be for a lot of years. I think the contract, wherever he gets, is going to have an opt-out after 3 years, either Harper or Machado. I think both of those will have – they'll be complicated contracts with a lot of opt-outs and options. But both of these guys, 26 years old, you know, if he got
– prime of their career.
If he got a 10-year contract, which it seems very arguable he's not going to get a 10-year, either of those guys. But if they got 10, they only take you to 35. It's not like you're signing somebody into their 40s. Mm-hmm. So I think he would have a big impact. Obviously a big bat. I think he's a big presence. I mean, we saw the game 2017. He homers his first three at-bats at Guaranteed Rate then. I think it was U.S. Cellular against the White Sox. And it was like no big deal.
Did you see the over-under number in Vegas on the Cubs and the White Sox?
No.
Okay, over-under number in Vegas for the 2019 season. Chicago Cubs over-under number is 89, which is surprisingly low considering they won 95 last year and haven't been below 92 in 4 years. And the White Sox number today, and if you think they're getting Manny Machado, you better go bet it now, 74.5.
Okay, so I'm going to bring up a couple of things really quick when we talk about Philly specifically, because we're not thinking long-term here, and by long-term I mean next year, who's available? who's available next year that would have an interest in Philly. Mike Trout, perhaps.
Oh, 2 years.
Two years for Trout. That's right, because he's a little bit later in the game. They could easily wait 2 years and get South Jersey's favored son, and then they'd be spending stupid money. So don't think that Philly isn't trying to do something for the long game as well. Also, right field at Citizens Bank Park. Come on. Bryce Harper could hit that every day. That's not a problem.
How about Yankee Stadium?
That right field at Yankee Stadium is easy.
All right. You got to go. Thank you.
I do.
All right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was an infamous field goal around town this weekend. If only we had a former kicker here who could talk about what went wrong. We'll discuss with him next.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
Chicago sports is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. You're a funny guy, Coop. Thanks to everybody in the back. I am David Kaplan. All right, we got a kicker here. His name is Fred Mitchell. Fred Mitchell has an award named after him, the Fred Mitchell Award for the best kicker in the country. I got to ask you, break down real quick while you have about a minute.
Yeah.
What happened on the kick?
Well, the timing appeared to be off. It looked like Parkey rushed it a little bit. The snap was pretty good. The laces got spun around okay. But the timing and the trajectory of the kick was a little bit too low. And that's why a defensive lineman was able to get his hands on it. Unfortunate. I feel very badly for Parkey. And it wasn't like he was not trying to make it. And I think most people have not attempted a field goal in a situation like that, but maybe you're a golfer and you can relate to it as far as trying too hard to hit your tee shot straight down the fairway, and for whatever reason it doesn't quite go that way. You can't explain it until you maybe see video and break it down that way.
Fred, you can play it out of the rough, though. You can't play that kick.
Yeah, you don't get another shot.
No, no mulligans there, right?
Did you ever have a double doink like that?
I probably kicked over 400 kicks, so, you know, from high school, college, and semi-pro. One time, I hit the upright, and it actually glanced off to the
Were you at the game Sunday?
But never the upright and the crossbar.
No.
Were you in the stadium?
No.
I would like you have kicked. All right, guys, thank you. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado Blackhawks. Pregame Live is next. Pat, have a great evening. We'll see you tomorrow for a 5:30 start time.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.